Good evening. You're listening to Urban Conversation. This is your host, Miguel Marie. I'm already seeing that I'm having issues. Our co-host is having issues. Can you hear me, Manuel?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so you are patched in. It's showing that you're not. Well, okay, good. All right, so I'm a little out of it tonight. So hopefully Manuel has plenty of energy to get us through this hour, because I am like in the zone right now. Anyway, let me get my thoughts together. What happened? Well, what happened is I usually work out early in the day, and I used to be one of those people who like did two a days, and I fell off the wagon, so I'm building myself back up to that. And so I have like these really, really hard workouts that are just retarded. So I had other stuff going on, and long story short, I didn't get to work out earlier. And I was like, you know what, if I don't do it before the show, I knew that I was not going to do it. So I made the decision to do this crazy hour-long workout. I timed it so that I was done about an hour five before the show, but I had, you know, once you get in the shower and you wash your hair and you're like all relaxed, and I'm just sitting here and I'm like, ugh. Yeah, so that's what happened. I know I'm not the only one, so but at least I got the workout in, and I feel very proud of myself for that, because I could have definitely I've done it.
You could have been a bum like me. I would just skip it all together.
No, I didn't want to do that. So anyway, tonight, I guess a few people actually, like quite a few people, like the Freestyle Sundays. I'm not sure. I think that I came up with the idea because we're not really good with coming up with solid topics. I'm just going to put that out there.
we should take suggestions. Like, people can suggest some topics from time to time.
I have people that do that. But they, you know, basically the consensus is that they actually enjoy the Freestyle Sunday because it's so random. And we can kind of just, you know, talk off the dome. And then even when we have set topics, we kind of seem to kind of go different places. So anyway, people like it. I was checking out the stats. They show you like, you know, how many listeners you have and how many people actually, there's my Facebook notifications going off. And so it shows you like how many live listeners you have, how many listed online, and then how many people, you know, archive, which is, you know, when they listen, you know, they pull the episode up after the fact. And we actually have like quite a few people who listen to the archive shows. I don't know. I want to throw it out there. Maybe the time, I don't know. I mean, I'm good with the time. And obviously people don't mind listening to the shows, the recording of the shows. I've actually had, you know, people ask, and I let them know that I repost the recording of the show right after the live show. So if you're not able to listen in, you can always listen to the recording. But once again, I want to thank you guys for tuning in, for your feedback. Some of the feedback is retarded, so. The majority of it is great, and then you have, I don't know, just some random people that
you have one or two randoms that just kind of go off the rails with something.
Yeah, and it's so funny, and I'm gonna put him on blast, because Freddie Fettler is one of our listeners, and he listened to the recording, and so a lot of people like that, I guess. Interact with me on Facebook have never heard me speak, and so people get a kick out of my laugh, and I'm trying to figure out like why, like to me, and then the thought of it makes me laugh. But I don't know. He was making comments about my laugh, and I just thought that was funny. Like, I don't know. And it's kind of I think it's a nervous thing, and then it's just, I'm goofy as well. So that's why I laugh. Anyway, so what is going on with you, Manuel? You're in Dallas, Texas, right? How's the heat? How's the weather?
I don't want to. Oh, God. It's 100 and something every day, and it's the worst thing ever. I don't spend much time in it, though. Literally from my front door to my car and from wherever I'm going to my car is the most I really have to deal with it. And some evenings I'm watering my grass. Aside from that, I don't get out in this element. The Dallas landscape won't see me out during the daytime until it's fall and the temperatures are reasonable, because I don't do the walking around sweating and itching thing too well. I just don't. Nah, it's too hot. It's like an oven. I just can't do it. Mm-mm.
Nope. Yeah. You already know I don't like the heat. I don't like any extreme weather. I don't like extreme cold, and I don't like extreme heat. It's just...
See, that's San Diego spoiled type of thing going on.
What? You got
that's what that is. Listen, every other part of the United States, we have to deal with the continental climate, and the continental climate is major shifts from one end to the next. So you being in lovely sunny San Diego for so long, you know, you're spoiled. That's all that is. Don't be coming and telling us about extremes that you don't have to deal with.
First of all,
we don't want to hear about you complaining about extremes coming out of sunny San Diego.
Whatever, you're a hater tonight. I can't believe you.
I'm jealous. I'm a little jealous. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a little jealous.
Oh
about
my
that.
Gosh! Don't be a hater. Be a congratulator.
A little jealous, man. You know,
Yes. I, you know, born in California. You know, it's five of us. I'm the youngest of five, and we were military brats. My dad, you know, he served in Vietnam War. He's in the Air Force. He's a crazy, like, brilliant person. Like, he builds computers. He's like one of those type of brains. So me and my siblings, we were born all over the place. And I was actually born in Los Angeles County, but I didn't live in California until I was probably, I want to say, 12 years old.
Oh, okay.
Before that, I was in Denver, Colorado. And so that's where, as far as like a little person, that's where I was for some years. And then from my preteens all the way into my adulthood is California. But I was raised in California. I was just, you know, it was a crazy story. They were actually visiting. My mom and my dad were visiting, and my mom, who was not supposed to be pushing me out yet, she went into labor. They were like on the freeway or something. She went into labor, and they actually got a police escort to the hospital. And she pushed me out. So, yeah, I just wanted to tell that little story. It was funny. It's like, oh, I had a grand entrance. How ironic. So anyway,
I don't know how I came into the world, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't grand.
I can kind of give you an idea of how you came into like the logistics, the specifics.
I'm pretty sure somebody dropped me off and realized that we don't want to raise this. I'm gonna give you to these people. That's kind of what happened.
That's awful. That's so not true. Do you know how much you weighed when you were a baby?
Hell no. Oh man, we don't remember those kind of things. I don't remember the weight of my children when they were born. Men don't remember that stuff. I was at work the other day, and some woman says something about a baby being 18 months. And I stopped her right there. I said, we don't want to hear that. It's a year, two, year and a half. You go, and then you count years. Y'all women go all the way up to 24 months. Ask how old the baby is, and the woman says 22 and a half months. She ain't 22 and a half. The baby's not 22 and a half months. The baby is almost two or one. It's just that simple, 22 and a half months. Shut up.
You know, yeah. women do that. I didn't do that, but But that's our babies. We're just, because they're just, there's, you know, they're still our babies when they're, you know, 2 years old. You don't want, you don't want it to go by so, you don't want it to go by so quickly. They're like, you know, they're still like babies. And, oh, I love that age, though.
And see, and that's the men. Men, we're waiting for that phase to be over so we can actually start having fun, so we can actually knock them over and wrestle with them and do.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, like that's what we think. It's so boring. Those eight, I mean, we adore that time. That's an adorable time. You know, we appreciate it, but we can't wait till the baby's like walking and functioning and doing something other than sleeping and pooping and crying. We can't wait till they actually are functional humans. So, yeah, I don't like what to deal with that.
It was, you know, the baby age, and I get that it's like different for daddies than mommy. Like I breastfed, and it was like a beautiful bonding experience. Like I loved my son's whole little, so sweet. Their little baby breath, and they don't have teeth, and it's just, oh, it's adorable. I want a baby now.
I'm too jealous and possessive of a man to allow my woman to have breastfed. So yeah, like nah, he wouldn't.
That is so.
No,
you have got to be joking.
Only person sucking them titties is me. I don't give a damn about a baby. Let's get it a bottle.
Oh my gosh, you are the worst.
That's borderline cheating. Hell no. We good.
Oh my gosh. That's not cheating. It's nourishing your baby. It nourishes me too.
We ain't sharing the nourishment. So the baby can go find his own baby somewhere else. And it's like, we're there before the baby. So, you know, imagine how that feels as a man. We're there before the baby, and all of a sudden the baby shows up and they got full access.
My son had, I mean, whenever he wanted it, like, and you know, and they're so little, like, half the time I didn't even want him in the crib. I just wanted him like right there, like, and I'm not like a wild sleeper. Like I sleep like a corpse basically. And so he was so little, and I would just lay him on my chest. I would lay on my back, and I would just lay him. He's so little and so cuddly, and I would just lay him on my chest. And, you know, babies, like, they know how to, like, move their neck and their mouths to find that nipple. And, like, there'd be times where I would wake up and he was going to town.
You see the problem? See, that's not going to work out. That wouldn't work out. I got to kick his ass out the door because I'm trying to move my head and mouth and get the nipple. And we got a fight? I got a headbutt this little punk ass just to get a nipple? No.
Oh, no. You cannot headbutt the baby. The baby has first dibs on the boobs.
And that's the problem. The baby should not get first dibs. Listen.
Yes.
When the baby, no. Hell no. Mm-mm. Y'all women got it messed up.
No. And you know how, like, okay, so all the women, I know all of the women who breastfed can identify with this. Remember how, like, so say, like, your baby is, like, you know, when they get to, like, that 5 month or whenever you let someone else watch your baby. Like, my son, when he was born, he was, like, always with me. And I was in the music industry, and I just, you know, that was, like, everything was contingent on if I could bring my son. He was like a little bit older. He was like 22 months. No, I'm kidding. I only said 22 months because I knew you were like that.
No.
But like, I remember my first experience, like letting my mom watch him for like, I don't know, like an hour or so. And I didn't like use the pump or any of that kind of stuff. And I just remember my boobs got engorged with like the milk. They're like, they get so, like so freaking huge, and you're just like, you just want to find, like, you, it's almost like you know your baby, you don't have your baby with you to like drink that milk, so you just want to like take someone else's baby, like,
really? Oh my god, what kind of shit is that?
Not really, but I'm saying it's so uncomfortable. You just want it, like your boobs, they get, you know, like the milk, it has to be released.
I don't remember.
You know, that milk has to, it just, you can't just like let it sit there. Like your boobs, like, feel like they're going to explode.
What's gonna happen if you just let it, it's not going, is it going to go bad in there? Is it like normal milk? Does it go bad in the boobs?
I don't don't think it's like that. It's painful. It's uncomfortable in your breast. It's like, you know, like they just like they swell up and it just doesn't feel good. You can like you could squeeze them and the milk will just come out. You know, it's kind of
Well, just go into the bathroom and have a quick squeeze off. Just squeeze off a certain level.
I did that.
So you were off in the bathroom being a little squeezing off breast milk into the darn sink.
I had to do a full on squeeze off.
So now that's the kind of thing. So next time I'm in a woman's bathroom using the bathroom, that's what I'm going to think about. It might have been a woman in here maybe a few minutes ago squeezing out her breast. That's disgusting.
I think you're going to be thinking about me squeezing off my breast, but I don't have any more milk.
Not with milk coming out. I just you're gonna play with them, just not with the milk coming out of them.
Have you ever tasted breast milk?
No. Why would I taste breast milk? I think my dad made this point one time, you know, humans are the only animals that consume another animal's milk as nourishment, you know, whatever, cows, whatever. But cats, you know, breastfeed cats and whatever. So I was like, well, maybe we need to mass produce women's milk. Like, we need to find a way to, like, I don't know, get some, like, matrix scenario, just impregnate y'all, and then when y'all are lactating, like, take y'all and sit y'all in, like, a lab and just pump milk out, and then produce milk, like, real human milk for humans. That way we're not getting any other animal milk. I think that would be something revolutionary. And, so you know, as far as people.
You basically want to treat women like cattle? You are so off. Like, what is wrong with you? You can't treat women like cattle, Manuel. That's so crazy. That's retarded. Anyway, breast milk actually tastes good. It's, you know, if the woman is healthy and it's nice, light, and sweet. It's nice.
Wow. I don't even care to figure out how you just randomly just decided to taste your own milk one day. Is that what happened?
Who said it was my milk that I tasted?
Whoa, what kind of freaky shit is this? Wait a minute. So you tasted another woman's milk? No, don't, because you can't tell me you remember what your mom's milk tastes like. I'm not going to believe that. So please tell the story of you tasting a woman's breast milk. I'm ready for this.
I'm just teasing. I've never drank another woman's breast milk. I did taste my own. I'm just curious like that. I like to taste myself. I want to know, you know, if someone else is partaking of fluids of me, I want to know what they taste like as well.
Stop. You're not gonna slide that by us real quick like that. You are not gonna slide that under the rug real quick. No,
what
let's back
I?
Up.
Wait, what? What did I say?
You said if someone else is partaking of your fluids, you wanna partake too. That's what you just said, right?
I said if someone else is partaking of my fluids, I want to know what they taste. I want to know what it tastes like as well. It's like normal. That's natural curiosity, right?
Listen, let me explain something. I don't give a damn what my fluids taste like. I will take the woman's word for it. You know, she can tell me, and I'm just going to take her word for it. So I think that's a fundamental difference between some men and some women. Because, yeah, I'm not trying to taste my fluids. I don't give a damn. No, not interested.
Well, you don't have breasts, and, you know. So,
but I'm talking about the other fluids. We passed breath now. We moved past breath like at least 60 seconds ago when you tried to slide that by real quick.
Oh, Manuel. Anyway, I'm sure I'm not the only one. I'm sure most women who have breastfed probably, you know, tasted their milk, and most women who there's no way to say that. Like
vaginal secretions. Yeah, that's what it's called.
So raw. I think there's a prettier way to have said that.
A prettier way to say it. Let me see. Hold on. that was the prettiest way. That was actually the prettiest way I could have said it. That was actually what I came up with.
You know, really use juices, sweetness, or something. You like secretions.
Secretions.
That doesn't sound sexy. That sounds like some, I don't know, issues going on. But, which here's a public service announcement. Make sure that you get your checkups. Make sure that everything is going right. Because, you know, that's important. But anyway, my son hates when I tell, like, his baby story. But he doesn't listen to the show, so I don't have to, like, I won't hear it from him later. Like, Mom, seriously? He'll laugh it off, but he's just like, okay. Like every year on his birthday, I make him relive the story of his birth. Like I go through the whole timing with him. I'm like, okay, you know what? But I had like, I was like, I had the easiest, like my whole labor, the whole process, my whole labor and delivery was 6 hours. From the time I went into labor to the time I pushed him out, it was 6 hours. Yeah.
I don't mean to interrupt your story, but I kind of do because it just brought up something that was crazy. And you can actually Google this. There was a woman, it was some weirdness, something I was watching on television that was weird, where this woman had an orgasm while she was pushing out her child.
I heard that disturbingness. I don't know. And I would love to have some women chime in because I'm like, I don't know how she must have been into some, I can't even talk on it because I'm just like, there's nothing at all sexual about the experience. Like
maybe some sort of euphoria, and maybe something was bumped into on the way out. Who knows?
Ew, man, you know. Oh my gosh. Like something was bumped into. It feels like your whole uterus is coming out. I'm pretty sure some stuff was, you know, you've got a baby and they're coming out of a JJ. So, that's good for her. But that would be so weird. Like, I wouldn't want to have an orgasm given birth.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. It happened to her, and I remember watching the interviews and some of everything else, and I think she had maybe, like, 3-4 children, and she said it happened every single time. Very weird.
Oh, my.
There's all kinds of stuff like that. Like, like, those people who have, like, there are women out there who have uncontrolled, just walking around uncontrolled orgasms, and some people would think that would be a good thing, but I've known somebody personally that had that issue, and it was never a good thing, you know, ill-timed, running, jogging, walking, and you just gotta go find a place to sit down and squat because you're having an orgasm. That can't be too comfortable.
Yeah, I heard. I actually saw something like that, some reality docu type thing, and it gets painful. Like I'm good with having,
just normal functions. Normal functions.
Yeah. Have an orgasm when you're having sex, and leave it at that. I don't need to have orgasms walking down the street.
I don't think anybody wants to. But I mean, the sound of it. Like when a person is not experiencing something like that, they tend to think on the positive side, oh, that can't be that bad. And then the people that are in the midst of it, they're like, yeah, it's terrible. It's just absolutely terrible. You know, the same thing with, you know, the whole nymphomaniac thing. I hate when people toss that around like it's some fun thing. Like I'm a nymph. No, you're not. That's not. Those people aren't living a pleasurable life, but yeah, some degree.
Yeah, that's that's crazy. Thanks for sharing that.
I think that was on the. That wasn't as bad as theaterism, but yeah, you know, it was just kind of. It was bad enough.
Yeah. So speaking of theaterism, on that same show, I wanted to throw these a couple of these other ones to you. It's on that same show. Yeah, and tell me what you think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't know if I can top the theaterism. So basically, I think we talked about theaterism, and for those that didn't tune in last Sunday, just real briefly, theaterism is when like an average sized person is into an obese, like a morbidly obese person, and they like to overfeed them. It's how they derive their sexual pleasure. And my co-host seems to think that he might be into that. But he's like, I don't know, yeah, I think you changed the definition.
If I can change it just a little bit. I'm into a type of theaterism. I think there's levels to theaterism. I'm into a certain level.
Okay. The story, it's on a series called The Seven Deadly Sins. And so it's this black woman and she's like 700 and plus pounds, and her man, you know, just an average size, you know, nice size guy. And he got off. His thing was, you know, basically feeding her to the point of like literally exertion. Like she would be like, no more. And he'd be like, you know, eat this burger, baby. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and he also described how making love to her felt like, it felt like putting a peanut inside of a marshmallow.
That sounds so terrible.
I got a couple of inboxes about that. People, I'm not making these stories. These are not my stories. This is on a show. So please, like, I don't, you know, I'm not into theaterism. I'm into fitness. Don't overeat. Anyway, okay, here's one that was crazy. They call themselves pretenders. And I have never heard of this in my life, but it's people who pretend to be crippled.
Oh, man. And
I'm not kidding you. And they highlighted this guy, and he just, you know, seemed like a normal person. But when, you know, he had a job, he has, you know, had a 9-to-5 and, you know, did his thing. But when he would go home, he would get into a wheelchair. And that's how he would spend his evening, you know, would be maneuvering and cooking and doing everything, basically acting like his, you know, like he couldn't move his lower extremities. And he said that he, for the longest time, as far back as he can remember, he felt like he was supposed to be born crippled, and that he actually envied people that were really crippled.
What so. Kind of shit is that? Like, what is that? Man, listen, the human I just a couple of weeks ago, I'm trying to wrap my mind around, I'm finally getting objective enough to kind of sort of wrap my mind around people being born feeling like they should be a man or woman. Fine. I'm just now getting that into my brain and somewhat registering it. Now you tell me people are born and they feel like they should have been born crippled.
So they
go home and act crippled. Hell no.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's not like it's like you know, there's groups for people like that. Like they get the, you know, the wheelchairs, or, you know, it's crazy. I try not to, you know, I'm definitely not trying to condemn anybody, because you know, we can't do that, but I don't get it. I don't see how you can look at someone's misfortune and then envy that. So it's definitely some psychological stuff going on.
I tell you what, they punk ass should not be trying to participate in the Special Olympics, because that's not right. I mean, come on now. I don't want to see like certain things, you know, like these people who've been in wheelchairs and they win in the Special Olympics, then they go into their job and get a normal, like, nah, man, that's not cool. Like, I don't know.
I don't think he wants to do that. I think he's literally said that that's, you know, that's what people that are, you know, in this group, pretenders, that's what they, you know, that's how they feel, like they should be crippled. And so they live parts of their lives like they are disabled.
Wow. The confusion.
Yeah. Okay, so here's this one really caught my attention, and I'm pretty sure you'll know why when I say it. So there's this ranch, this sex ranch called, I think it's the Sagebrush Ranch. Don't ask me. And it's a brothel, of course, somewhere in the middle of somewhere. It's the Sagebrush Ranch. So if you want to look it up, you can look it up. So, okay, there's brothels in certain, you know, states, you know, you can have them. And so that's, you know, that's not the crazy part. But as I was watching this story, they get on, you know, the owner of this brothel, and he's a minister. He's an ordained minister, and he's running this brothel, and he's like on the show basically trying to use how, and it just, I don't want to get into the Bible and all that stuff, because you know, Manuel, I can go in. This is not the show for that. And you know, I don't like to debate, because most people that try to don't have the information, so I don't really feel like they're a worthy component. And so I try to stay away from debates. But this dude used some scriptures in a way that I have never seen twisted and contorted and taken out of context. I mean, he's like, yeah, well, Mary Magdalene, you know, we think she was a whore and she hung out with Jesus. So, you know, what's wrong with me, you know, hanging out with them and giving them a place to do their work? Cause you know, I'm almost in tears right now. I wanted to I'm so serious. I wanted to go through the TV and just like shake this dude. And then, first of all, okay, here's the thing. It's not scriptural. There's no scripture that says Mary Magdalene was a prostitute.
Right.
Let me school a bunch of folk out there running around saying that. That's not in the Bible. It's basically, you know, when you study the Bible, there, you know, of course it doesn't have, it, you know, everything is not, you know, all the blanks are not filled in. And so you kind of look at the region, you kind of look at, you know, all these different elements, and then you know, some of the things you're guessing, but they're not the type of things that will take anything away from the doctrine or anything like that. So, you know, people have put that, okay, she must have been this because she, you know, God healed, you know, Jesus healed, da, da, da. But we don't know. But this clown was basically using these scriptures to say that since Christ hung out with prostitutes and sinners, that's the reason that he did it. So hold on a second. So I'm going to keep talking. Okay, there you go. What happened? Your call dropped?
Yeah, I guess it just dropped. Okay. But no, I was hoping that you would go into that part of explaining to people that, you know, where everybody says this thing about Mary Magdalene being a whore, she wasn't. I think the Bible just said, I'm thinking, it just says that she's a sinner. You know, so I don't know why everybody would want to apply that if a woman was a sinner, she had to be, you know, a whore. You know, it had to be something along those lines. But, yeah, that's been a big misconception over the years.
Yeah, you know, and people are, I mean, this, from the beginning of time, all ancient documents have been, you know, get scrutinized, and people take things out of context and don't, you know, don't know how to weigh the information. And when you don't know how to weigh the information, you get people that, you know, create these crazy religions, and, you know, and you get people, you know, doing crazy stuff in the name of God. And it's kind of like, oh, please stop. You know, literally half of the arguments that you see people doing, if they realize that, you know, if they put the Bible in context and understood that everything is not applicable to us today. This is the Bible lesson for tonight, and then we're going to move on. Understand this, the Bible, when you get into the New Testament, you know, you're getting, first of all, when you go into the Old Testament from the beginning, you're getting a history. And a lot of things are really hard for people to process. They say, well, you know, why would God allow such things? Well, you're getting a history of human nature and what happened. And it's for no other reason but to give you a history, you know, of genealogy and of what happened to the people that preceded us and how these, you know, these groups were formed and who got, you know, who the chosen people were. And the biggest thing that I always get from people is, well, oh, we're not supposed to be doing this and this isn't the law. And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. You're not a Jew. You're not a part of the, you know, you aren't the chosen people. We got grafted in. We basically, you know, that relationship with God, we were allowed that after Christ came and died. If you believe it, if you don't, that's good. I don't try to make people believe whatever they don't want to believe. But those laws and those things that were given, they were given to a chosen people, and those people weren't even able to live up to it, which is why God had to make amends for that and give us another way, which is grace. And so, you know, please just, you know, if you're gonna question it, study first and try to get the questions first. And then, you know, when you get to a place where you really don't understand, then, you know, ask the questions, but don't go into a debate and try to, you know, talk on stuff that you haven't even taken the time to study.
Right. And that's where, you know, so much confusion comes along. I mean, if people would just think about all the cults and the crap that is so far removed from reality, you know, I mean, if the People's Church and Jamestown and all this stuff, like, that's the dangerous area when you start getting people who have no sort of real context, and they start manipulating the masses to a point like this man. What he's doing seems like a joke right now until he has thousands of people following him, and then a lifestyle emerges, and then, you know, things become dangerous and this, that, and the third. So, I mean, it's a joke now. It sounds ridiculous, but people have been using scriptures to manipulate masses on such terrible, terrible scales. It just really bugs.
And it really does. And you know, I always tell people, if they truly studied the word, they would see that God's character has never been that you blindly follow any man. It's never even been in his character that's revealed in scripture that you just simply take anything and then just say, oh, okay, I'll believe it. You know, God, there's a level of intelligence in scripture in all ancient documents. And, you know, even when you look at mythology, so many of those things are tied in together. They're just different groups of people telling the same story. And that come out, you know, with a different belief system. And, you know, but it's never a good idea to simply sit under any human and take in what they say, and you don't do the follow-up research yourself. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved, which means you are responsible. We're accountable for what we take in and what we choose to believe. So you can say, oh, I'm not going to believe it because, you know, these pastors in these churches, they ain't right. They got folk paying tithes, and, you know, so I, you know, I don't have nothing to do with all that. See, you can't look at it like that. You don't follow man, you follow Christ, and you know, that wisdom that you get, you allow that to, you know, to be cultivated into discernment, so you know who to sit under and who to learn from. But it's always, you know, a learning, teaching, you know, type of situation. And we're, you know, yeah. So anyway, this dude, he made me sick. I was so, like, yeah, disturbed.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's taking advantage of people on a whole other level. I mean, it's so much Yeah, he's selfish. It's self-gratification. He has something wrong with him that he's trying to justify within himself. I mean, he just, bottom line, maybe he's just one of those bottom-feeding dudes. And I don't know, maybe he's just one of those dudes. Maybe he's just one of those guys that likes dealing with, you know, whores. That, you know, and I'm not saying...
He just needs to sit down and be smacked. You hear so many people that are turned off by so many of the beautiful aspects of Christianity, and the reason is because of people like that, you know, twisting scripture and just doing horrible things. And you know, he had a message within this nonsense, but his message was just so, you know, twisted, because he's like, you know, don't judge. And we don't judge. We do judge. We don't condemn.
Whenever people say don't judge, I'm pleased. We'll wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I hate that. And I try to give the correction, like, we have to make judgment calls. Right. That's where our moral center is. But what the Bible talks about, because the Bible actually says to judge, you know, it's righteous, right. Called righteous judgment. But what it speaks against is when you condemn someone.
Right.
So when you take those judgments and then you somehow believe that you're better than this person because you're not doing what they're doing. So they're going. It's like if we were judged like that, we would all, you know, be lost. I mean, everybody is human, you know, so he had that part of the message, like, you know, I don't condemn anybody, but it's like, but you don't have to support something that, you know, is damaging and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Sleeping with that
all many
men.
All right, Rev. All right, Rev.
You said what?
I said, all right then, Rev.
Did you call me Rev?
I did. I see you.
I have my order now. I have my water right here. I'm taking a sip right now.
I just took a sip. Yeah, we had those conversations, man. I already know, boy. You get those wheels get turning, boy. I'm like, woo!
You like it. You love it. You're like, yeah, go. Keep talking.
Keep going. Yeah, keep talking. Hell yeah. But it's good. But yeah, like that level of manipulation, that's when I do hope, and I don't normally hope that something bad happens to anybody. But when people use that level of manipulation over people, I'm just hoping that they pay for that. You know, I'm like you deserve something bad to happen to you. And I don't ever mean to say that about anybody, but I'm just like, man, we're taking advantage of a part of human nature that is so volatile.
Vulnerable.
It's such a vulnerable. We're talking about emotions, what we feel about life after death, and the things that make us who we are and help us cope with life, and you're playing with that. Like, that's not something to play with. And so that's why I sit back and I look at stuff like that and I'm like, man, look, if you're going to manipulate people, please use some other form of manipulation. Just don't use that.
You know, religion is the oldest and the absolute best manipulative tool in history, because it's playing on people's faith and
right. And that's the thing. You remember the movie Book of Eli?
Yes.
You know, where the guy he wanted the book, and he explained to them, he said, because the book is a weapon, and what he meant was, you know, he knew that he could control the people by having that book, and then redefining it to them, you know, and using some of the good parts of it to get control of them, but then he could also manipulate them. So he referred to it as a weapon, and that's what it can be. That's what any religious text can be, you know, if the person gets it and decides that they want to turn it against people and use it for their own agenda. So, like you just said, it's the oldest and easiest way, and it's just so wrong. It's just so terribly, terribly wrong. There's a special place for them. Special place.
All right, preacher. You talking about me? Okay. Yeah. This is the This is, okay, I'm gonna give you one more. This is a crazy one too. So there's a company, there's this lady that makes the, I guess, the, okay, the business is called Reborn Baby.
Oh God.
Re-
This already sounds bad, come on.
It's called Reborn Baby. And it's a woman who makes lifelike babies for, it's kind of, you know, it was like, it was kind of a little bit noble, I guess. And then it got a little weird because, you know, there's women that can't have babies. And
right.
So this woman, she'll make lifelike babies. And these people, you know, they pay a good amount of money for these babies. You know, I guess when they're going through their, you know, their moments where they want to have, you know, a kid and they can't. So they get these babies. But then they, like, highlighted this one lady. And this is where it got disturbing to me. So this woman, she has 5 kids already. And basically, she's like, the baby phase is her most, is her favorite age, you know, for children. And this lady had this lifelike baby, and she had a friend who also had a lifelike baby. But the woman who had the 5 kids, she had a toddler, probably like barely 2 years old. And they're showing this baby, the one that's really alive, like trying to get her attention. And she's over here nurturing this doll. Like,
how old was the baby that was actually trying to get her attention? Because I'm just trying to get a reference point for the age. She needs a newborn.
She wanted a newborn because she said that was her favorite age. And as her kids would grow out of that phase, she said she found herself longing to have another. So, which makes sense. She had 5 kids, but she had the little one was probably like 22 months. I gotta keep throwing
now that you know that. Oh man, I need to learn not to give you ammunition.
Everything is gonna be told. Be like, Manuel, guess what I saw today? I saw the cutest 22 month old baby.
Oh man, not at all.
I'm gonna send you pictures of 22 month old. I'm gonna be like, Look at this. Isn't this baby beautiful, Manuel? The mom said she's 22 months.
It's only 17 and a half months. Get the hell out of here.
Well, anyway, her baby, the woman's kid had to be about, you know, going on 2 years old. So still fairly young. And she was shooing her living child away and nurturing this this doll. So yeah, that's that. And so it's called.
Now this is my issue. If she didn't have children, I would just consider this lady weird. But the fact that she has children, that you know, this is going to spell disaster on another level, because we know that neglecting children, those ramifications, those problems are so rooted in some of the worst issues in society. We're talking about, oh God, like there's not a problem with psychopaths and sociopaths that aren't associated with some level of neglect from a parent, you know, if they aren't chemically imbalanced. So I would hope that's scary. I mean, because I'm thinking of myself and I'm thinking of my children, and I can only imagine if my children are vying for my attention, and then they got to compete with a toy.
I definitely can see issues. Yeah, I can foresee some issues for that kid.
The kids are gonna have the problem.
Yeah, she was off. It was kind of weird. I mean, I you know, the whole baby phase. I mean, I get that. Like, yeah, you miss it, but I don't think I would want to, you know, relive.
That's not a healthy way to go about it, right? Like, that's like, nah, not neglecting your fully functioning, and the children who need you. These children still need you to be an actual parent, and you're neglecting.
Yeah. Like, yeah, she could still be breastfeeding that 22-month-old instead of playing with that with that doll.
First of all, whoa. Anything that's walking does not need to be breastfed. Let me just be clear. See, listen, that's when I'm really going to be headbutting and elbowing the hell out of some child. Because I got to share a titty with a child that actually walks? Hell no. He can get off his ass. He can get off his ass and go to the refrigerator like I can if he won't milk.
Oh, my God. You know, the pediatricians say do breastfeed for the first 2 years. That's healthy. That's recommended.
No. Listen, 6 months max. Get off that titty. Once you can start lifting your head up and moving around, look, bro, get up off the titty.
Oh, you are so awful.
That's fine. I'll live with it. No, that's not cool. Okay, baby, you're hogging up the titties. I'm not even what I would consider to be a titty man, but the fact that the baby is on it, I'm just trying to get the baby off of it. Like, I ain't trying to share. Mm-mm.
You're not a titty man?
I wouldn't say I am, but I appreciate them. So, and I don't want nobody else appreciating them during the time in which I can be appreciating them. So he needs to get off of titty. Whatever.
What are you? You're a butt man? Isn't it just either you're a breast man or you're a butt man? Or should they make
I love legs, and I like the titties, you know what I'm saying? I like the ass, but I like legs. I can't do bony legs. And
you can't do what legs?
Bony legs.
Bony.
Mm-hmm. I like the thigh meat, you know what I'm saying?
You sound like you're ordering a chicken dinner or something. Give me that thigh meat.
It's kind of like the thigh meat. I like the thigh meat and I like good skin, like very, very nice skin. Like that is like so important, because you can have all those other assets, but if your skin is feeling like sandpaper and it looks like Swiss cheese, that's not good. I'm not down with that. Like, I can give it down.
Oh, sandpaper and Swiss cheese. I don't even know if that's possible.
Yeah. If you got rough, porous skin, and you know.
Oh, okay,
and,
so it's like the pores is the Swiss cheese. You know, yeah, when it gets laid, my brain starts to shit. Because
I like my skin.
I have my skin is like sandpaper.
I don't buy that. Listen, at least from a certain level, I mean, you look to have nice skin, you know, but I don't know what's
going on. Manuel, you've touched my skin. Stop acting like you don't.
Hey. Whoa.
You can touch someone's skin without touching all of their skin.
Not where I'm from. Never mind, that's for another show. But anyway, but no. That's my thing.
That's for this show. There is no topic on this show. We've gone from religion to, I don't know, crazy people pretending like they're crippled and people buying fake babies they made sure that they didn't say fake. They said lifelike, but I say fake. They were fake babies, and now we're talking about.
Right, well, we're talking about what my preferences are, whether I'm an ass titty man and I'm a skin thigh man, but again, listen, I'm not gonna be disrespectful. If a woman has a nice set of rest, I'm going to pay homage. Like, I appreciate that. But I don't want to share with no punk-ass baby. Bottom line, like, no, he needs to go
you
buy
need
his
to
own
You need to get
kid.
Over, you need to let it go. Let it go. Let go of that.
I was here first.
That's, oh my goodness. You have, yeah, well. Anyway.
At least the nighttime hours is mine. Any other time, when I ain't around, I guess he can get access.
So the baby can breastfeed when you're not around.
Yeah. During the daytime, I'm at work, whatever's going down, that's cool.
Okay, well, anyway, I was going to, because you're going to run that.
We're just going to disagree. You know what? Leave the babies alone. Let them just get their nourishment, Manuel, and shut the hell up.
Yeah, let those babies suck on those titties and enjoy themselves and enjoy that sweet milk. They deserve that milk. They've been locked up in that womb for 9 months, let them live.
They've earned it. What were they doing up in the room? Relaxing, chilling.
They were forming bones and skin.
In the same warm part of the body that we've been trying to get to for however long. Like, really? I'm supposed to feel like they did something. I envy them. Like, get out of here. No, I don't feel sorry for them.
Oh,
no.
My goodness.
Yep. Well, envy.
Okay. Yeah.
Envy the baby.
We're gonna pray for you on that. that's gonna be the group prayer. Is that you get deliverance from that? I is delivered.
I need to be. I
had a question I wanted to ask really quickly, but we're running out of time.
Go for it.
Are you bossing me around or?
No, I say go for it. Go for the question.
I'm not going to ask that particular question because that will, but there was a question that was posed on the page. Not too many people responded on that. I'm going to have to bump it up, but it was asked, what's your biggest pet peeve about the opposite sex? And the two women that did comment said the double standard. So I wanted you to talk about that really, 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 really quickly.
Why would you do that? Why would you touch my favorite argument, double standards?
I know you love it.
Oh, I love them because you know what? I don't want to hear a god dang, I'm not going to curse. I don't want to hear a damn thing when a woman complains about double standards because there are double standards that benefit both sides. And mm-hmm. I'll give the two. I'll only give two. The whore double standard. No, y'all can't sleep with men the way we sleep with women and expect to be respected because y'all do it and then say, well, men do it so we can do it too. You're not a man. Shut up. And the stay-at-home mom double standard. Men cannot be respected amongst men and even amongst most women to stay at home and just raise kids while the woman brings home the bacon. It's a double standard. Now, perhaps it works for different circumstances, and that's fine, but get over that part. That's something that women benefit from. Y'all can take off for the rest of your life and say, you know what, I'm at home. It's a job to raise the kids. And we respect that as men. Women respect mm-hmm. it. Society will respect it. But if a man decides to do that, it's kind of like we look at them like we just don't apply that. We don't give them that same break. So women, men, get over the double standards that one sex has that the other one just doesn't so happen to benefit from because, hey, we don't all benefit from the same double standards. That's why they're double standards. Shut up. Get over it. You just live with it. Damn, people complain. People will complain about a double standard while they benefit from a double standard. Like, really? That's hypocrisy. And that's also a double standard. We're all hypocrites. And that is what it is.
I agree. I'm not sure why so many women, because usually, typically, the complaint is in the area of sex. And, I guess, I don't know, like, I don't get what the complaint is. Like, why would you want to, because men, you guys can tend to have some kind of dog ways. And
right.
I don't, I don't personally want any part of that. So, you know, I get where they're coming from, and I get the why and the reason, but, you know, I think you summarized it pretty well. There are double standards, but, you know, such is life, and there's double standards for men and women. So,
right. And I'm saying, it's the judgment that comes behind that women don't want to deal with. Women don't want to say, oh, hey, from the age of, I don't know, 21 to 25, I was spotting off, or I'm sorry, that's not one of your favorite terms, but I'm just whoring off, and a man can do the same thing, and then they're still considered this eligible bachelor. But if a woman does it, they're kind of looked at as like, whoa, you need to move to another state and redefine yourself, because that's not cool. That just is what it is. Get over it. Get over it. The same way if a dude can't be bums for years at a time and then be considered eligible bachelors. Like, what have you been doing for the last few years? Oh, I was staying at home raising the kids. What? Nah, bro.
Yeah, that is true. And, you know, I don't know. I think the differences between the sexes, but, you know, what we're finding right now, you know, 2015 and just the craziness of the world is that, you know, people don't want those identifying characteristics and factors, you know, connecting the genders. You know, there's people who just want to erase all of that. And we're basically all the same, and whatever we choose to do, we can do it. And so, you know, it's like this, you know, the beauty of being a woman, you know, is being diminished, and, you know, the masculinity of the man is being torn down. And so you just kind of, you know, all the lines are blurred, and, you know,
men don't want that. We want women that are women. We don't want women that are trying to be like men. For what? If that's the case, we would just be with men, not me, but those men that like men would just be with men. So why do women want to be like men?
I don't know. Maybe they feel like, you said what?
I call it penis envy, where women want to be like men. Like, what is that? Penis envy? Like, we don't want y'all to be like us. We really don't.
There's women who feel like you men do want women to be like you, to be like one of the boys. And I think we talked about that.
And I don't know, those men to me are kind of funny. I don't want a woman that's going to be like my boys. I mean, it's cool to have a woman that, yeah, she's cool beyond the scope of just being a woman and a girly girl. But at the same time, I don't want her to be so much like the boys to where she's like a damn boy. Like, we don't want that.
I think take it in this context of the emotional responses that women are more inclined to have. I think that a lot of women feel like to really own those emotions and to own those thought processes that they have, you know, they feel like, you know, history, their history with men and, you know, relationships have proven that those things are not as, you know, well received by a lot of men. And so a lot of women try to turn off that female part of the brain and try to, you know, relate like a man and, you know, try to put off like their responses are more male appealing. Because, you know, a lot of women feel like, oh, he doesn't want, you know, me to be sensitive or emotional or feel, you know, this kind of way about this. And so if I act like these things don't bother me, if I act like, you know, I think like he does in the situation, that will, in the end, you know, I'll get him or he'll, you know, he'll accept me more.
And it's only going to get you treated like you're a dude. We're going to treat you like you need to bounce back and move on and move along like men. So when a man finds a woman that believes that she can, oh, I can just frolic, I can just be like men, I can just move on, we don't want you, we don't need you, then we're going to treat that like it's a dude. We're going to treat that with a level of care that we would a homeboy. Get over it. We're going to treat it like we treat our sons when our sons fall and they scrape their knees. Get up, shut up, brush it off, don't cry. As opposed to our daughters, we pick them up, we nurture them, we give them a little bit more love and care, and that's just the dynamic of a man. So when we see that, that's how we're going to treat you as a woman who decides, oh, I'm just like the guys, that doesn't faze me, that doesn't bother me. We're going to treat you, we're going to see if you can really play that game, and we're going to say, oh, okay, well, she's cool like that, then fine. when inside they're being torn up and they're breaking down and they're putting up
exactly. That's my point. And I try to, you know, and I've said this to women all the time, you know, don't ever forfeit what, you know, you're given in creation to be, you know, your being a woman doesn't make you illogical. That is such a crazy myth, and so many people gravitate towards that as though that's factual. Right. It just means that women are more emotion centered.
That's it.
We feel things deeper. We're, you know, our discernment, our perspective, you know, and men are more brain centered. You guys are more black and white, and that's okay. It's like accepting the differences, but never don't stop being a woman to get a man. We need to tag that. Like, that needs to be like, don't stop being a woman just to get a man. Like, you know, you have to be who you are, and you have to be true to what you feel, and you know. So,
like I said, you know, if a woman tells me that, I mean, when a woman lets me know, it just makes it clear, look, I'm crazy. Don't hurt my feelings. You know, I mean,
why does she have to be crazy?
Well, no. I'm not saying, but some women will let you know, listen, I am crazy. Don't do this. And you know, as a man, I can respect that. I can sit back and say, okay, there's a certain guideline. There's a certain way I need to operate with this person because they're sensitive in this area. But if you try to play the game as if you are not, but deep down you actually are, and then you react crazy, then you can't blame me for treating you like you said you were capable of tolerating. You know, you can't blame a man for that. So just let me know you're crazy, you're emotional, you're volatile, and then I'll respect that. So when things happen, when things come about, I'll say, you know what? All right, you know, I should have done this way. I should have been a bit more careful. I can't be so callous and rough. I know what I'm doing in this situation. Don't sell us something that you're not just because you think that's what's going to keep us around, because nah, we're going to treat you exactly like you told us to treat you.
So, you know, I'm about to throw you and then we're going to, so the woman who has your affections that you spoke of last Sunday, is she crazy?
All of them are crazy. Every single woman.
The woman that you're in love with, you're now saying is crazy?
Every woman. Listen. There are levels to crazy. There are levels to crazy.
I'm gonna have a talk with her now that you're saying that she's crazy. What are you saying? Oh, wait a minute. So men aren't crazy, Momo? Just women?
Men, we can be crazy. Let me see. Are men all crazy? Hold on, let me think. All men have a crazy. All men have a crazy. All of them. All of us have a crazy. Now, we do.
Okay, so what level of crazy is the woman that you're in love with? What is the level of crazy that you're saying that she is?
What level? It's I wouldn't say level. I would say there's a particular area where she might be a bit crazy. I'm gonna have to sleep on that one. We're gonna have to revisit that one. But all women are crazy. Just know she's crazy. She's a little crazy. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to think.
What?
That's a good question.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's so, all women are crazy. And you
all of you are crazy. Is there any part of you that you consider like, okay, I'm a little crazy when it comes to that?
I don't think I would use the descriptive crazy. Like, crazy is such... I'm being honest. Like, crazy is such a really disturbing descriptive
Okay, the description of crazy, I wouldn't take it too seriously. What we mean is, when a man describes a woman as crazy, it means that there's something that's about the woman that we don't quite understand, that we can't quite put together, that we find to be ridiculous. So we can find that in just about every single woman, and we have to learn what that woman's crazy is. So her crazy is like, okay, this sets her off. This goes this way. This rattles her this way. And we consider that a little crazy, especially when we don't identify with it. Because most men, we only crazy two ways, jealousy and possessiveness. And those are usually lines of insecurity.
That's human nature, though. I think given certain circumstances and certain situations, that most people at some point in their life have felt jealousy.
Absolutely.
Because you don't understand your woman, does that mean that she's
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because I understand normal. I don't understand crazy. And I'm going to go ahead and be very subjective here. I'm not going to be responsible. I'm not going to be responsible, and say that I need to understand the woman better. I just need to love the woman. We don't want to understand you. Women don't understand this.
How can you be in love with a woman and not seek to understand her?
We do not want to understand y'all. We just want to love y'all. That's it.
Let me ask, is that for real? Like, are you serious?
So you feel like
as a man, you don't need to understand woman?
Hell no. Let me tell you why. Women understand women. Women understand women, and y'all can't stand women. So if we begin to understand y'all, we might not like y'all. So instead of understanding you, I just want to love you. It's just that simple. Just let me love you.
Since I know the woman that you are in love with, I'm going to talk to her about you saying that you think she's crazy and that you don't feel like you need to understand her. I think that may be a game changer. Like, you have to, in any relationship, let's put it this way, in any relationship, whether it's an intimate relationship, whether it's business, you have to seek to understand the other person's point of view. That's just wisdom.
That's different. See, you're talking about, I'm going to be honest. I won't be crazy right now. See, that was my crazy. If I'm being honest, we do have to understand a person. But understanding that's not where I'm trying to understand the woman. I'm understanding her as a person.
Okay, so my point is that if there's areas that you don't understand her, you can't
understand those. Right, no, I do seek to understand those.
And hold on a second. One of our listeners said, Elizabeth Nomi, what's up, girl? She said, tell him all women are not crazy. Men don't communicate. Yeah.
No, and that's true. I agree with that too. Men, we're terrible communicators. I 100% agree with that. We don't communicate, but women over communicate and we under communicate. That's the way it is.
So you need to find the middle, and you can't say you have a misunderstanding, and then, that she's willing to talk, and then you're like, oh, give me 24 hours. I don't want to talk right now. Is that, is that logical to you? Is that crazy, or does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So it makes sense. Why? That if the person, if you recognize that you don't communicate enough, and then you're with someone and they want to communicate, shouldn't you reject those?
See, the thing is, it's like you said, there is a happy medium.
Okay.
The way men communicate, we want the meat and potatoes. We want what happened. Exactly what happened. We don't want the details. Women, they give you the details. So a woman will say, this is what a woman will say, babe, I got a story to tell you. And you're like, all right, well, what's the story? Oh, well, I got off work today and I was walking downstairs and I went down and I went to clock out and I realized I left my badge upstairs. So I went up there to get my bag and blah, 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 blah.
And then I pulled out,
then I got into the car and the car was so hot and I had to let it warm up and blah, blah, blah. And then 30 minutes later, she's telling you about the accident that she was in on the way home, which is why she pulled up in a rental car. So we like, bitch, why are you going to tell me you just got into an accident and that's why you, like, that's what throws us off. Yes, that's what we're thinking as men. So that's over-communication. Men, we under-communicate. Men, a lot of times we hold back, we hold on, and we don't want to communicate so much. And sometimes we just like, look, babe, there's a problem and we need to fix it. The woman will want to know, well, there's a problem, but we need to fix it. But when did this problem start? Well, we ain't trying to tell you when the problem started. Just understand there's a problem and we need to fix it. Why do you know when the problem started? Let's just fix it now.
So what is the solution to that?
If I did that, I'd be a multimillionaire. I did not have a solution to that.
It's called compromise, I believe. And compromise is not only in actions that we take, it's also in our communication style as well.
That sounds like a democracy.
No, that's a good thing. Because the thing of it is that if, you know, say your woman, you know, she's having an issue and she wants to communicate with you, you may not necessarily want to listen. You know, if you really feel you really can tell that she really, really needs to address something and get it, you know, clear the air, you know, you give her that. And then as well, women, you know, should realize that it doesn't always have to be the long side of the story with everything that we address with a man. And, you know, having the patience to say, okay, if he says, okay, give me a day, let me diffuse and kind of get my bearings, you know, step back, give him his day. You know, it's all compromise, you know, so that you don't let things, you know, get too far out of control.
Right, I agree with that.
You agree with that? Well, then you said, she's talking about men. They expect women to be mind readers. If we try to communicate, they get turned off. Are you turned off by communication?
It depends on when you want to talk. Sometimes I don't want to talk. So sometimes y'all just need to shut up. Like, for real. Like, we don't always want to talk.
Do you say that? Do you make that clear?
I do make that. I'm like, oh my God. Like, listen, I've been known to be like, woman will start talking, look, we need to talk. And then she'll start talking. I'm like, wait. Give me a minute, time out. Let me sleep on this. Like, I need a moment to think. Like, I need to defuse before I hear you complain about whatever you're going to complain about or voice your opinion or give me all these details. We don't always want to hear that shit from, like coming through the door or in a moment. We need a moment.
But we're
problem solvers by nature. So we do want to communicate. We do want to find out what the problem is. It's just sometimes there's a moment when right now ain't the best time. And everybody, now all human beings have those moments when right now ain't the best time.
Yeah, exactly. And I think as long as you tell the person, you know, and I get that every woman is not the same, every man is not the same. I know what works for me is that as long as I know where the person is, like, you know, if you're in that zone where you don't want to communicate, I still need that to be told. You know, I need, you know, it's when, if I'm forced to play the guessing game, then that's when, you know, the issues come, because it's like, I can't read, you know, you can't read someone's mind. So all you have is what they're, you know, choosing to tell you, you know, so if you communicate that, look, this is not a good time, then, you know, all good. So we agree on that. And Noni said that you're hilarious. All right. Well, we went. What up, Noni? I didn't even know she was listening. That's a friend of mine. Any closing thoughts, Mr. Manuel? We're about to shut this down.
Baby should not be breastfed after 6 months. And double standards are what they are. Get over it. And women are crazy.
Oh, wait, so you're going to end with that? I thought we just discussed. So you're just going to end with that?
I got to fight for the men. Any brothers that are listening, they need me to come back. I got to come back for the men because we believe y'all crazy anyway.
But you still love us.
Oh, of course. Hell, what would we do without you? Like, I'll deal with all the crazy. I will deal with all the crazy and everything else. I'll deal with it.
That is so disturbing. All right, so you've been tuning in to Urban Conversation Radio, and if you have not joined us on our open forum page, make sure you do so. Urban Conversation Radio on Facebook. You can also connect with us on Blog Talk Radio, Urban Conversation Radio. And once again, this was a hilarious show with my co-host Manuel, and we're going to say good night. Thank you for tuning in, and we will have another conversation with you on next Sunday. Take care.